This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mully and Hall. Mornings live at 5 on Sports Radio 670 The Score. 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station.
If he ends up playing, if he's able to play, then he plays. And it's like I was dealing with my son playing youth football this weekend. You know, if he's hurt and he's going to get the okay to play, then you can't tell somebody to play a game and not get hit. You can't do it. If you're okay to play a game, then you're okay to get hit. It's not hard. You know, it's pretty simple. For me, it is.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 to the Score. We have the great Zach Zabin sitting in this morning. And that is the voice of Matt Nagy, and we are delighted to welcome in Rich Campbell. Rich joins us on the St. Charles Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram hotline, home of the real deal. Rich, of course, the Tribune Bears man. Hey, Rich, how are you, bud? What's going on?
I'm great, guys. I'm very glad Zach did not tell me he was going to be on this morning. I probably wouldn't have slept last night. I would have been so excited to talk Bears with my friend.
By the way, did you guys, and thank you very much for the kind words. I love talking to Rich, love talking football and more stuff. When he was on last week, did you guys address the English Premier League?
Yeah,
did
we
you guys
talk about it? Well, we talked about it beforehand, and I believe we talked about it after.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I'm glad Kevin put in the update there that the U.S. men's national team lost to Canada, because this should be a national outcry.
I got to tell you, he said that to me this morning. I taped the game, and I didn't watch it because there were other sports on that were more relevant to my life, but I was planning on going home and watching it. Now I'm not so sure.
Wow. Because
they beat Cuba by about 7 goals or something, and Cuba's awful.
The state of our national team is a debacle. No one cares because they're irrelevant.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Maybe we can have the women get into the Men's World Cup and represent our nation.
Oh, I can't go another cycle with no team in the World Cup.
I know. It's really horrible. I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, well, don't get me started because I literally
yeah, look
could
what
go
you,
on
look what we did. Look what we did.
Thanks,
here.
Zach.
That's mission accomplished. That's what I was trying to get.
The one thing I will say, and I think this is really funny, they beat Cuba like 7-0, and I'm watching the broadcast of that game, and they were talking about the problems they were having with the Cuban national team, that every time they go to a tournament, like 4 guys defect. So like they had lost 11 players or 12 players in the last 9 months or something. Because every time they play a game, they just don't go back.
Oh, man. All right, let's get to football. American
tear
football.
Down your team. I'm sorry.
All
go
right,
ahead.
Relax.
You're
all
the
right.
one who brought it up.
So I heard Dave Ragone, the Bears quarterback's coach, say this the other day, and he mentioned how the Bears, from an offensive standpoint, learned after that first game against Green Bay, and they felt that they managed the second game against Denver much better, and then the third one, they liked the way Trubisky was executing the offense. So when the offense is right, based on the personnel they now have and some of the injuries they have to navigate around, what is this offense going to look like on Sunday? What's the goal in terms of making this team efficient from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that Ragone interview. We talked to the Bears position coaches yesterday. It's their monthly media session. And so what I wanted to hear from Ragone is this very low bar that the Bears set for Mitch about incremental improvement. Remember, we talked to Ryan Pace in Decatur in July, and Nagy has reinforced this. They wanted to see incremental improvement. And Ragone's point was, yeah, they played better against the Redskins than they played against the Packers. That's improvement. It's like, okay, well, let's take into account the degree of difficulty there. But to Ragone's point, Mitch was getting through his progressions as best as he ever has. He was doing that against the Redskins. And so Ragone was very eager to see Trubisky build on that against a Vikings team that Mitch is familiar with, and then he gets hurt. And so Ragone's point was, it's a small sample size for Mitch so far, so he was resistant to any grand judgments about the 2019 season, and that's fine. You know, if the coaching staff approaches it that way, they're certainly within their the you know, right of their mindset to think of it that way. But okay, then we need to see more extended stretches, like the second quarter of that Redskins game, where guys are running open across the field. You don't see that enough. Guys just running open with a defender trailing them and Trubisky putting him in position to make yards after the catch. So that's one thing, Zach. The other thing that the Bears really loved, the throw to Gabriel, the touchdown throw, the long one, 37 yards. It was off script. It was off schedule. The way he climbed the pocket and just gave Gabriel a chance in a one-on-one situation, that it wasn't perfectly protected and it wasn't Gabriel running wide open, that it was a little bit murky, and that Trubisky made an athletic play to lift them, to make that play call right, to make that whole thing right. So those two things, Trubisky making off-schedule plays when it's not clean, and then guys running open, you know, the design has worked, guys are beating their man, getting separation, and then Trubisky is accurate, getting them in a position to run after the catch.
How much will Akeem being out long-term hurt? Is there a big difference between a short-term fix and a long-term fix?
I think it's huge.
Yeah.
I mean, I have questions about whether the defense can remain at this elite level without him, simply because of what he means to them on every down. I mean, it's not just run or pass. It's pass rush. It's both. And we saw the Raiders moving the Bears defensive linemen out in that game in London. And completely different story from the Vikings game, when those backups, Nick Williams, you know, Roy Robertson Harris, even Abdullah Anderson, were holding the point. We're keeping the linebackers clean in the run game, because it really does start for that defense with the run, in the front seven. So without Hicks in the center, I think this is a huge problem for them. We'll see how valuable he is to that defense over the next 8 or more weeks. But his strength as a pass rusher, you know, the way he can just bull rush and collapse the pocket from the inside, has helped them so many times, because you can't devote all this attention to the edge rushers that the Bears have. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl player, and you just can't lose those types of guys and not miss a beat. So we'll see how well equipped they are. But given how the offense has needed the help from the defense, I mean, this has the potential to be catastrophic. You know, let's not go that far until we see it play out a little bit. But the returns in the Raiders game were terrible. It was the defense's worst game, and it was because Hicks wasn't in there, big part of it. So we'll see. But I think there's every reason for Bears fans to be wringing their hands about this.
That's why they have to play complimentary football. I know people hate the term, but that's the key to success going forward for this team. And the offense has to start helping the defense out, especially since the defense is not going to be as strong as you just mentioned because of the Hicks injury. And part of the way that they can play complimentary football is by making more of a commitment to the run. Are you surprised that they can't get any semblance of the running game going, considering how much talk leading into the season there was when it came to Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery and the explosiveness of those two players?
It's not that. I'm surprised that their running game is so bad because the offensive line has been so bad. I mean, everything we have heard about Harry Hiestand is that he's this master teacher of technique, and you can watch any quarter of Bears football this season and see bad blocking technique from their offensive linemen and tight ends. It's everyone. I mean, Harry said it yesterday to us. We're all taking our turns missing blocks. That is a damning indictment of everything they have going up front, that they can't even rely on one guy to be consistent and finish blocks and climb to the second level and displace defenders up front. I mean, it is really shambolic what they have going on up front right now. And for all the Bears have talked about continuity with this line, they brought back 5 starters from a line behind which Jordan Howard averaged only 3.7 yards per carry last season. You know, I agree that Jordan Howard wasn't the fit for Matt Nagy, and I saw that, didn't have a problem with them trading him at all. But if you look back at last season and the reason they couldn't run the ball, it was also because their offensive line couldn't block. And so they doubled down on just about everybody on this line, you know, with contract extensions other than James Daniels. And here they are, and you have the O-line coach admitting we're all taking turns. So when the blocking breaks down and Nagy wants to go away from it, you understand why. He feels like they can pass protect better than they can run block, and that's not anything a single offensive lineman would tell you they prefer to do. But they haven't proven they can do the other thing, so they're going to pass. And I don't think we've seen David Montgomery at his best as a result. I do think it'll be interesting if there are more established running lanes for Montgomery, whether we see him hit the holes differently, whether he's not as quick to try to work laterally, which is one of his strengths. I'll be interested to see if we see more Mike Davis as they've self-scouted through the bye week and try to get him, you know, in the veteran presence into, you know, what is otherwise a murky, you know, run blocking scheme right now because of all the blocking problems. But I just think it's an O-line issue, and I don't know how they're going to fix it because they're not going to overhaul all the personnel. We'll see how Kyle Long's, you know, move to IR and, you know, Rashad Coward coming up in his place will affect that. But they've got a lot to prove, and I think Harry Hiestand has a lot to prove as well.
What do you make of the tight end position, and how big a disappointment has that been? And will getting, and I don't even know what's getting healthy, getting better, will anything change?
Yeah, it's a huge anchor on this offense. I mean, think of all the roster spots that they're devoting to tight ends. They're not getting production from any of them. I don't think you see Trey Burton open. I don't think you see him separating from defenders. That's, to me, where I have questions about his fitness. Maybe that helps him coming out of the bye week and we see him running open a little bit more. Maybe we see a little bit more suddenness on that intermediate level on any type of option route where he's just breaking away from a linebacker. I just don't feel like we've seen that enough. We don't see any chemistry between Mitch Trubisky and Trey Burton. The timing between them isn't right. We don't see any yards after the catch, really. So that's a problem. Blocking has been awful. I mean, Adam Shaheen, we know he's not a trained blocker at wide tight end. Well, that's the position they have him at, so he's miscast there. Might not end up being a you know, worth the second round pick. He certainly hasn't been so far. So Shaheen's not giving you any type of red zone presence, which is the one thing that the Bears have touted about him that he could be. So you've got Burton still with the question mark about his fitness, Shaheen and his overall ability to play and be a consistent player. And then the Bradley Soule experiment has failed. Obviously, they continue to drop him from the roster every week and bring him back up. So he's not really a factor for you there as a wide tight end. Ben Broniker is a non-issue in the passing, you know, non-entity in the passing game. Their best tight end right now might be J.P. Holtz, who they claimed off waivers after week one, and they used him in sort of this H-back, fullback role. Yeah, and what's the impact there? I mean, your fullback's never going to make your offense, so it's an anchor. I mean, Matt Nagy was not here when Ryan Pace drafted Shaheen out of Division II Ashland. I would not be surprised if that union ended at the first chance it could, which is still another year. So, you know, Nagy, I think, still is going to have to do more to remake that position. But they did handpick Trey Burton, and Burton's injury has hurt them. They don't have that dimension in their offense right now.
Hey, Rich, thanks a ton. We appreciate it, buddy.
My pleasure, guys. Have a great day.
That's Rich Campbell covering the Chicago Bears for the Chicago Tribune.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.